First of all, I want to say to the choir, if you wanted me to hold it together up here, that's not fair, singing Because He Lives. One of my favorites. What do I say? What do I say? I thought a lot about that this week. Okay, there's this great scene in the movie Star Wars. Star Trek? Lord of the Rings, anybody? Okay, so you'll never guess what Hala, our dog, did the other day. Okay, so these are some of my standards. Sometimes they've worked, sometimes, well, what do I say on this, my last message here? Some have suggested a few weeks ago that for my last few weeks, I should really just preach terrible sermons. And I don't know if I've actually obliged you or not, but let me tell you, it has been a profound honor to be your pastor. To me, it is no small thing that you took a flyer on some quirky minister from Jersey, that you have given me this time here on Sunday mornings and Tuesday nights and early Wednesday mornings to reflect and experiment and test the limits of faith and life. It is no small thing that you have joined me on meetings after long days of work to work some more. It is no small things for the ways that you have partnered with me on achieving some good things. It's no small thing that you have invited me into your lives at moments of celebration and grief, moments of questioning and challenging. It's no small thing that you have trusted me with your struggles, thoughts, and prayers. You have given me far, far more than I have been able to give you. I am blessed by each and every one of you. There are too many names to mention. Just a couple of things. Walter and Veronica. Ustedes son una parte muy importante de esta iglesia. Ustedes me han bendecido tremendamente. Y las pupusas y los tamales eran tan deliciosos. I just told Walter and Veronica, at least I hope I did, that they are an important part of this church, as are each and every one of you, whether you are a member or visitor or just passing through. I will remember the beautiful anthems of this choir and the bell choir. I will remember you as you have come to me in my study, in Brunner Hall, here, in our work out in the community. It is a blessing. There is no greater honor than I can imagine than in those moments that you have thought of me as your pastor. I will remember. I will ever be thankful for your faith, your commitment, your work that has in so many instances made me look better than I am. I know it is God doing these things, but God has done them through you, and I am the better for it. And this goes also out to my community partners that I have been privileged to work with in this place. It all boils down to this. It's precisely what Jesus says in our text this morning on the eve of his departure. I call you friends. I have seen the face of Christ in you. We have different paths now, but we will always be joined together as friends. Not in the shallow, hey, how you doing way, but in the Jesus way. I believe that this is the heart of the gospel. Jesus makes friends. You know the song. What a friend we have in Jesus. In our verses and in the gospel story of Scripture, Jesus was forming a new community that with God's grace, strength, and courage would share in word and deed God's good news of love and peace and justice. This good news isn't primarily held in doctrines or by institutions. It is discovered in relationship, in friendship, in its most profound sense. The gospel makes friends. In a world too often characterized by struggle and brokenness and loneliness, in a world that pulls us apart, God fortifies and transforms with love. With you gathered here, and with so many more in this valley, I have felt this love, and that's gospel. I am honored by that tree that y'all have planted out there for me, that our name is attached to it, care is mine. I will remember that, and as it grows and as it gives you shade, I will remember it in my spirit. I'm pretty protective of it. Yesterday, Friday, I drove up and the city crews were cutting down trees out here, and I was protective of it. Don't you touch that tree right there. I don't know if I would have to end up chaining myself to it. I am thankful. But this is not the end of the story. That tree has a long life to live. It has long and much to grow. Its story is just beginning, just as a new chapter in the life of this congregation is just beginning. The prophet Isaiah says to Israel when they find themselves in exile, remember the things of old. Remember my promises and my faithfulness. Remember what I have done for you. Remember the goodness. But just a few verses away, at a different time and context, God also says through the prophet, it's time to forget. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Even now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? God is doing a new thing here, right now. There's a great scene in the movie Dead Poets Society, and you know I had to squeeze a movie in there somewhere, where the new teacher at an New England boarding school, proper all-boys school, comes in, and the new teacher, Robin Williams, comes and he joins and he teaches the class in poetry. And one of their early classes, he tells them to open their formal textbooks and to read a few lines out of it, and the lines explain the formula for analyzing and enjoying poetry. And what does Robin Williams say? What does the teacher say? Rip it out! Rip it out! Poetry isn't some formula, and faith isn't bound by the past. It is energized by it. When time comes, rip out the old chapters and start writing new ones. It's time for a new chapter for you and for me. Last week, we reflected on Jesus presenting a new vision for the community he was forming. I am the vine and you are the branches. In those words, Jesus was presenting a vision and he was calling artists and dreamers among his disciples to start sketching and imagining what was possible, what is possible, what will be possible in life empowered by the love of God. This morning, in these verses, Jesus makes another call. Jesus doesn't just call artists and dreamers. Jesus also calls engineers. Jesus needs disciples, sisters and brothers, who are able to take the sketches and the imaginings and dreams of visions and visions of artists, and to work out the details and the realities and the measurements to somehow make those visions real. That's what engineers do, right? Jesus presents the vision. He says, remain in my love. That's the vision. Because when you remain in love, you bear much fruit. The fruit of hope and peace and justice and community. How do you do that? How do you make that vision real? How do you do that in a world that tends to pull us apart? How do we come together? This is where the engineers among you are called. To come together and work on making the vision of a loving community real. Jesus makes friends. Jesus, the master engineer, gives us guidance. Do what I have commanded you, he said. I give you these commandments. And note the wording of the last verse there. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. That's also recognized earlier in there, not quite translated as clearly. But it is, I give you these commandments so that you will be able to love one another. In other places in the Bible, it says, my commandment is to love. But this says, and Jesus tells the engineers among us that this is how you do it. When you follow my commandments, love will be born among you. So that. What are the nuts and bolts? Worship together, pray together, study together, meet together, eat together, give together. Forgive each other, guide each other, support each other, feed each other. Look at my life, Jesus says, and do that. Because the commandments enable and nurture and discover love. They do not earn it. So engineers, get to work. There are new chapters of the story to be written. In all of this, faith is like the zombie 222. Does anybody know what the zombie 222 is? You will learn something today. A guy is at a racetrack, and he sees an old 1972 Datsun fitted with a high... You don't see 72 Datsuns at racetracks too often. But this one is fitted with a high-performance electric motor. And he sees that it goes pretty fast. And he gets an idea, a vision. So he goes out and gets a 1968 Mustang Fastback. Beautiful car. And he takes the old engine out of it and he puts in a new state-of-the-art electric motor. No, a pair of motors attached to a state-of-the-art batteries. And he creates the fastest, baddest electric supercar. To quote one of the engineers, when I step on that pedal, each motor is fed over 2,000 amps at 185 to 200 volts of power. That's 4,000 amps at 380 volts of power, hitting that drivetrain instantaneously. Come on, he says. Power! Do you hear the engineer there? Numbers? It goes from 0 to 60 in 2.4 seconds. It eats, says one of the engineers on the team. It eats the brains of Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Maseratis, anything that sounds like a pasta dish from Italy. It is wicked fast. The best of the old, matched with state-of-the-art new, and you go places. This church is like Zombie 222. You have the best of what has been, and you have and will have state of the spirit new, and you will go places. So, my friends, it is time. You have blessed me, and I hope for you and for you together that the opposite is true also. We will always be friends in the Jesus sense of the word. But now is the time. God is doing a new thing. Artists, dreamers, engineers, go. Amen.